it worked.
I came out, you just started hollering right off the bat. It's always a good thing, you know, last two cuts. But he started hollering, and he said, I've been chugging along since. It's looking good. So I started off about, let's see, I got, well, here, let me back up a little. A few kids ago, we had one, about midnight or 1 in the morning. I woke up gentle like my wife. Hey, it's time. Oh, okay. So, you know, that's like a couple kids ago. This time it was like 2:30 in the morning. Wham! Hey! I'm like, what? Kick! It was not just wham. Hey, get up!
I guess Megan decided it was your turn to sleep in late instead of waking you up in the middle of the night, right?
Oh, she had already been up an hour. I just got kicked out. In fact, a few kids all waking me up. And I was just, bam, got hit, you know. So, you know. Yeah. Yeah, let's see. We talked about maple syrup in last time. I done put an end to that this weekend. It's been nasty, cool weather all week this week, which it has been. Horrible amount of wind today. Didn't feel sleep. Ground is bare. High wind warnings, 50 mile an hour winds. Get on the house. House sometimes gets creaking, you know. There's a good gust. Hit. Guess up there in North Dakota, they got 18 inches of snow in Bismarck, North Dakota. And with these kind of winds, I'm sure they're dealing with huge drifts. They're probably covering houses type stuff, you know. But we don't see that here. Yeah, kind of a cool. I think there was ice on some water from left out in a pan. Sap. I don't think that ice froze off, thawed off today. So, sorry, Gary. I didn't pay much attention to what went on. I stayed inside.
Steve, I'm glad you got all your maple syrup finished up today. And gosh, the 50 mile an hour winds. You know, we can't imagine that down here. We'd think we was having a tornado or something with winds like that. But up there around your place, it's kind of flat, I think you told me one point in time. And then you go on a little further north, you get into the mountains, but it's relatively flat where you are. But that's amazing, 50 mile an hour winds. And, you know, just north of you a little bit, they got all that snow with the winds blowing, and I imagine it could cover a house. I wouldn't want to have to deal with shoveling the snow out from the door so I could get out or something of that nature. But I guess most of those folks have, those little small snow blowers and stuff like that to help them get out. And then, that way they don't have to shovel it so much.
Yeah, but I have seen pictures of people, they open the front door and bam, there's an imprint on the snowbank that drifted the door of the door. There's an imprint on that snowbank, you know, so might want to keep a shovel on the inside there. That you need your way out. Either that or get a second story door or crawl out the window or something. Not that long ago. Get a lot of interesting photos on the social media. So you see all kinds of interesting stuff. I guess that's about it, Gary. Yeah, oh, by the way, 5 gallons of sap or syrup. So that's not too bad. That's about it, Gary. We'll turn it back to you. You have yourself a good evening, and Matt, and we'll talk at you later. KF4, say hi to you. KF4DOS, KB0KBJ.
Okay, Steve, will you tell Miss Megan that she did real well with this last delivery that I said that she finally got you a son after having all the daughters? And so she did real well, and I hope she's doing good. According to your text, she's doing good. But give her our best and tell her that we said hello and congratulations there, Papa. I'm glad you finally got you a little son. You will enjoy that probably more than you do your girls, but I don't see how. You can't love one more than you do the other. But you have a great evening. I appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit. Enjoyed it as always and look forward to doing it again. You take care, Steve. Talk to you later. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Phone the stump is Mr. Shane, N4ZLK, up there around Cleveland. Shane, you still with us?
DOS, N4ZLK, I am. Sorry about not seeing where I was. I had just gotten home and had a plate of food in front of me. I was trying to talk to you and eat at the same time, Gary.
Well, did you have something good to eat?
She had some squash and mushrooms and asparagus topped with cheese, and that was all topped on some mashed potatoes. It was really tasty and hot out of the oven, so I enjoyed that.
Really sounds good. Well, Joy fixed us old Southern style dinner tonight. We had fried chicken breast with rice and gravy and macaroni and cheese. It's not macaroni and cheese, but green beans. Had rice and gravy and green beans to go with my fried chicken. And I sat back and enjoyed that earlier. She got it fixed early tonight. I ate about 6:30. Well, you know, I didn't have to wait till 8 or 9 o'clock to eat.
I eat a little bit earlier, but it's just the perks of the job. Don't get home in time. So I try not to eat too much so I can sleep better. Anyway, I wanted to ask you about that antenna that you built. I've been looking at the plans, and I'm really interested in it. And one of the questions I had was, can you use any wire on the outside, you know, for the actual antenna wire itself, or does it have to be that enameled wire that you use inside the core?
The magnet wire is just for the core. You can use any kind of wire on the outside. Matter of fact, I used, what is that? I think it's number 10 gauge electrical wire that I had on a spool out there in the barn. And it was sitting there doing nothing and taking up space. And I said, I think I'll just build an antenna out of it. And it works really well. I had it about, probably 3 feet off the ground when I put it together and checked it out to start with. And then when I put it up in the air, I left the very end of it. If you go from the baling box out to the insulator and then from the insulator on out to the end, I left it a little bit long. And I had it folded over on top of itself when it was 3 feet off the ground and got the SWR down on it right there. But when I put it up in the air about 20 feet, the SWR changed dramatically, and I had to lengthen it, but I already had the extra wire there, so I just moved it out, put about 6 or 8 inches to the length of it, checked it, and had to do that. Had to do that 4 times, but I finally got it to where the SWR is about a 1.2, and I don't have to use a tuner with it, which is great.
Across all the bands or just on 80 meters?
No, it's across all the bands, believe it or not.
So did you cut it? I noticed on the plans it said 67 feet, and then you've got the little insulator and the picofarad, and then another 67 feet. So you had it longer than that 134? Did it end up being longer?
No, it was. I cut both sides 67 feet. But when it was 3 feet off the ground, I had to fold the far end, the 80-meter wire, up. I had to fold it back over on top of itself to get the SWR down. Now, it does vary. It doesn't stay right there at 1.2. It'll go up to about, I think the highest point's a 1.7 on it. And I don't remember which band that was. But it varies a little bit from band to band. But when I got it up in the air, like I said, I had it folded over about, maybe 3, 3 and a half, maybe 4 feet. And then when I got it up in the air, I had to lengthen it back out to not quite 67 feet. It's about 66 feet and about 8 inches or something like that. That's actually where it was most resonant at on 80 meters. And that's where I left it.
And another question I had, that sounds really good. Another question I had was, Do you have the junction box there, like a couple feet off the ground, and then it goes up to 20 on an angle?
I don't have. I did have. That's the way it started. It started down, you know, about 2 feet off the ground, and it went up. And at this point, you know, I've already got the SWR adjusted. And I said, well, I wonder what kind of changes this is going to make if I raise it up on a, I've got a power pole right next to my tower as, that my winch is attached to, and then I've got a pulley at the top of the power pole, so it will you know, help lever the tower back up into place, this tilt-over tower. But I put it up, about 15 feet on the power pole. The reason I did that is because I drive the truck out to the backyard, out to the barn, and with it 2 feet off the ground, I would run into the wire. So I raised it up and just increased the length of my ground wire from the box down to the ground rod, and that didn't seem to affect it.
That's some helpful information. I was wondering about that. Now, which direction do you have the wire running, like from the box to the end of the wire? What do you think would be the best, you know, compass direction to run that wire?
Well, I really don't know which would be the best direction. Mine is probably southeast to northwest. Is the way mine is set up right now. And if that, you know, if I find out that I can't get into some stations off the ends of it, I'll turn it around a little bit or something of that nature. I've got the room to do that with, and I feel like you do from what you've been telling me about your place. But that's the way mine is oriented right now. I know some other fellows that have that set them up a little bit differently. They put theirs put the box on a tree up about 4 feet or so, and then went up at an angle. And one of them running is probably running almost north south, and then he's got another one that's not quite east west. It's probably a little northeast southwest. But he's got two of them up, and he says he can't tell much difference in the lobes on them. So thing I can tell you about that, Shane, is put it up and try it, see how you like it. If you don't like it, move it around a little bit and see if that changes.
No. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I mean, I know that there's some different opinions on that, and some people say it doesn't matter. I've got a little small 10 through 40 up right now, just kind of temporarily permanent, and I've got it running northeast or northwest to southeast, and man, Europe just comes in all the time really well, and I don't know if it makes a difference because of that. You know, it's almost broadside to Europe, so I was thinking about doing maybe the same way.
Look at the antenna modeling diagrams. A wire antenna is, if it's broadside to the area that you want to get to, that's where the biggest lobe is. And, you know, towards the end of the wires is, you know, whether it's a dipole or end-fed or whatever, I've got a loop up as well. And there are null spots in it, you know, off the ends a little bit, but I don't seem to have any trouble getting anywhere I want to get. I've like I said, the way mine is oriented, New Zealand, Australia, you know, then back around the other direction. We got them in both sides, you know, or you know, even off the ends. So I guess I'm just in a good spot as far as antennas go.
Okay, yeah, I've actually pulled in a couple of Australian stations. It's the first time I've been able to do that. When I had a little system set up at my house in Simpsonville, but nothing very high off the ground. I never heard that far away, so I've been hearing them, you know, since I put this antenna up, so maybe it's a good direction to have it. Anyway, that's what I wanted to know. I was just curious, and maybe some weekend I could swing by there and just take a look at yours. I'm interested in it because I feel like I don't have to run as much coax and have as much support. You know, you're going to have, if you got a dipole or an off-center, you've got supports at both ends and maybe support in the coax in the middle, too, where the coax is. Yeah, I understand that. Well, you're welcome to come by and look at this anytime you want to. All I ask is that you give me a call just to make sure I'm home. You know, I'd hate for you to come by and maybe at the store or, you know, someplace else. But, you know, you're welcome anytime here, Shane.
Ben, I wouldn't do that to you. But, yeah, I'll let you know. But it's really interesting. I've watched the videos and think I'm about ready to order the parts and start putting the box together. And even if I don't use it eventually, it'd still be fun to do and, you know, just to learn about that. So that was it, Gary. I appreciate you taking some time with me, and thanks for calling the net. You're doing a good job, as always. I always enjoy your nets. And hope you have a good evening. Say hello to Miss Joy for me. And I will talk to you again, I'm sure. KI4DLS from N4ZLK.
Well, appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit. Like I said, come by anytime you want to. Just look at the antennas and look at the ham shack. And, if I can help you out with that any way, let me know and I'll do what I can. But you take care up there on the mountain, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoy it, Shane. Don't get to do it often enough. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
OS, this is WD8RON.
Go ahead.
Looked on the line after you gave me the right nomenclature, and I found exactly what I was looking for. It cost $3.47, and also $11.50 to ship it to me. Over.
Well, I don't know. You might be able to come out cheaper having it shipped to you. I mean, that's still a pretty good price, but that's not much more than a gallon of gas, is it?
Now, I'm going to check with a couple of plumbing places around Brevard and see if they have something like that.
Well, PVC pipe, they will more than likely have it there, Ron.
What to look for, I wasn't sure exactly what to call it. Once I put that in there, it came right up. So thanks a lot. I'm going to be monitoring for the rest of the wet.
Glad we were able to help. You take care. Grab additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Okay.
Yes, sir, Shane.
Make another comment, and it was about Steve's comment about how flat it was up there. And my son-in-law, K4HNR, lives up in Fletcher there. He grew up in North Dakota, and he said it's the only place you can watch your dog run away for 2 weeks.
I never heard that before, but that's pretty good.
There plants trees around their farmhouses to kind of break the wind because it can be so windy. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. And also, shipping is expensive because I have to live well. That can be for Ron. So, anyway, I'll talk to you later. N4ZLK.
Well, you keep bringing them parts and stuff to us and taking them from point A to point B. We appreciate that. But you keep working out there, so I'll still get a paycheck, okay?
Hey, you guys, I plan on doing it for a few more years.
Bang, and I had heard this before, and I'm sure you've heard it before. I don't know how in the world I had enough time to go to work. The only bad part about being retired is you don't ever get a day off.
And I've also heard that you actually end up being busier. So I don't understand it yet, but I'm sure I will. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk to you later, Gary. Have a good evening. N4ZLK.
Okay, Shane. Appreciate you coming back in there anytime. You take care. We'll talk at you a little bit later. Additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Third check, KB0BJ.
Go ahead there, Mr. Steve. Your turn.
Take a recheck. Reminded of me think of something. I had check-in on an echo here, both, you know, by echoing also. And there was this two station that was going in there locally. Get that out. New England area or wherever that on the East Coast. And he wanted to recheck into the net. He was local, the repeater, that is. The back. And the net control says, what? Instead of just on, I'm not sure if it's good. He's just like, what? Who? What? Check back. Anyhow, so we're checking back here. And then, yeah, talking about flat. It's not that it's so necessarily flat. It's just there's a lack of trees. That's why it's so windy. There are areas that are flat. And one of them is the Red River Valley near Fargo, which is a big valley. It's actually a lake, bud. Fargo's in the bottom of an old lake, and it's a massive Lake Athabasca, I think it was called. Just take bigger than the Great Lakes. And, I mean, went all the way from here, all the way up to Winnipeg, Canada, and the lake that is still there in Winnipeg was part of it. Right up there in Fargo, and we went to visit my sister. She married a fellow from up there. We went to visit her sister, Megan's sister, and parents, I should say. And I hope I'm not confusing you, but anyhow, we went to visit sister-in-law. They're really great folk, and as we were leaving, he says, the dad, he says, I think his name is Don. He said, well, we waved to you for 2 miles, 3/4 mile away, and they were still waving. I got out at the intersection, I stood up and waved over the top of the vehicle 3/4 mile away, you know. I could still see them way, way off there. What a whole family standing up in front of his picturesque, you know. Just stood out there waving, there, 3/4 mile away, waving still. That's all I see. That's just a sense of humor. So, anyhow, throw that in there. Back to you, KB0KBJ.
Well, Steve, I can understand the lack of trees. I don't know. I've been up in that, but I haven't been to North and South Dakota, so I can't say what it looks like up there. But other places, it gets kind of flat. You can see for a long ways. Standing on the porch waving goodbye for, you know, and the people are 3 miles away, that said something else, buddy. That'd be like standing on the dock and waving at people out across the Great Lakes, I guess. You know, waiting till the boats go out over the horizon where you can't see them anymore.
Yeah, very, very, very similar analogy. I would say that's pretty apt there, Gary. But, most people wave to get out of the driveway, maybe. But here, they're just like, I guess we got nothing better to do, just keep waving, you know. So I got to get it. Not only the fact that they could do it, but they actually did do it, you know. Back to you, Gary. KBJ.
Tell you what, Steve, that just proves one thing. There's nice people all over the country, and, you know, everybody can get a good laugh out of something else, and that's really something. But I do appreciate you coming back and telling us about that. And again, tell Megan and all the girls and your brand new son, we said hello, and give your wife a big old hug and kiss from me and Joey. Tell her we miss her, and she did good, and congratulations to you and her as well. But y'all take care up there, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoyed it, as always, Steve. Any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Anyone for check-ins or anyone that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. Down. Get a little closer to your microphone and try that. See if that helps. I can't quite understand everything you're saying.
We'll try it again some other time. Twice.
I got you good that time, Steve. Go ahead.
I think I might have a mic.
you're in there good.
Anyway, I met Jack at the Greenwood Ham Festival, and he cleaned my badge, cleaned it up with the Seneca, and we got talking. Anyway, I eventually, you know, went up to the house there, and he took me over to the computer site. I was telling Andy this one night, I believe it was after the net, the usual suspects hanging around after the net. My uncle had a fire tower just adjacent to his property, and I remember riding by the back of the truck looking at it, just, man, I want to go up there. So we get up to the top of the mountain, and there's this fire tower. Jack turns around and asks me if I wanted to climb the fire tower, and I was like, yeah, I do. He kind of granted a childhood wish for me.
He and I drove up to the fire tower and the repeater site up there on Glassy, and he said, if you want to, he said, I'll unlock the gate and you can run up there to the top of the fire tower. I said, no, I don't feel that good today, Jack. I said, I'm going to stay down here on the ground. But we rode all over the place up there and talked about this, that, and the other, and then oh, gosh, went over there and visited with him. We went down to a little restaurant down there in downtown 6 Mile and ate a bite of lunch. And I just thoroughly enjoyed myself. I'm going to try to get back over there in the next day or two. I told him I'd come back over and help him with some stuff that he wants to get straightened up, cleaned out from under his carport so he can put his car back or his truck back under there, and he wants to put his lawnmowers and stuff in one of these buildings that he's got. And I told him I'd help him rearrange some of the stuff to where he could get his lawnmowers out from under his carport and get them out there in the building. So I'm going to go be seeing him in a day or two. But well, when I do, I'll go over there and tell him that you said howdy.
I hadn't seen him in a long time.
Just
more, you know, COVID hit the door.
I'll be glad when we start having Ham Fest again, too. I told Jack, I said, Jack, that's what we need to do. I said, we need to have a Ham Fest yard sale over at your place. I said, we'll set a whole bunch of this stuff out, put up some tables, and we won't have to load nothing up and take it anywhere. I said, it'll be right here. He said, I would do that except for one thing. I said, what's that? He says, I don't want any little children over here. I said, okay, we'll do it some other place, some other time. But he's chomping at the bit to go to a Ham Fest. He can't drive anymore since he had his stroke, and so he's kind of confined there unless somebody goes by to see him and pick him up, take him somewhere. So I try to get over there as often as I can, and which is not very often, but I'm going to try to get over there in the next day or two, either tomorrow or Friday one, and see him for a while.
It's been a long time since I've seen him like this. I've just not realized he's been struggling. I didn't know he could drive. Yeah, I'll definitely have to give him a call one day and see about it. He's going over there and keeping him company for a while anyway.
Well, he doesn't say that a whole lot to anybody, but he did, and he don't drive anymore. So if you can get over there and give him a call, hey, I'm sure he would love to hear from you. And if you can get over there to see him, he'd be glad to see you, I'm sure. But maybe we'll get together and meet over there and just aggravate the hound out of him for a while.
Ham Fest after that, in between the visit.
program the other day, and I said something about Jack, and they said, everybody knows Jack. If they're a ham, they know Jack. I said, well, some of the new ones don't, but those of us that have been around for a little while probably do. But he's a fine gentleman, and I really enjoyed going over and visiting with him. We sit and talk about anything and everything, and he can talk about radios every once in a while. Just enjoyable to talk to, and I'll let him know that we were talking about him, asking if his ears was burning while I'm at it, appreciate you coming back in there and talking with us a little bit, Keith. I enjoyed it. You got anything else for us tonight? I think it's called an Enfed 8010. I hand wound a 49-to-1 baling, put on it, and it's an Enfed, and it's 134 feet long. You go out 67 feet and put an insulator and put a 500 picofarad capacitor in series, and just tie one section of wire to the other with a capacitor and run it on out another 67 feet and string it up. A lot of people put them up in a sloper type configuration. You put the baling and ground rod and all that real close to the ground and run it up. I put my baling up on a power pole up about 20 feet and ran the wire straight out to the barn, up to the top of the barn, and it's up about 20 feet or so in the middle. Of course, it droops down a little bit, but it's up there and works real well. If you want me to, I can send you the drawings for it.
Good. I'm good on QRZ, but my email is qualifying Kilo November 4, Charlie Hotel, Yankee at Gmail. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, I've got my backyard is pretty wide open, a lot of grass, but I've got strategically placed old growth pecans and maples and such, so they would be ideal for a sloper type application.
Like, you got plenty of room for it, and I'll shoot you an email with that. You say it's your call at Gmail. I'll shoot you an email with the plans for that, and it's got the baling on there that you wind. It's got three 2-inch toroidal cores in the middle of it. The way I did it, I just put a couple of drops of super glue on one core, stacked the next one on top, and put a couple of drops on it, and stacked the next one on top, let that dry. And then I wound it with a magnet wire it's called magnet wire. It's got a lacquer type insulation on the coating on it. And I wound it 49-to-1 baling and put it in a little box and put the mounting screws and all that other stuff on there and strung it up in the air, and it works real well. But I'll shoot it to you, and thanks for coming in there and talking with us a little bit this evening. Enjoyed it, and look forward to doing it again. Maybe we'll get together and go over to see old Jack one of these days soon. You take care. Have a great evening. Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. I'll wrap it up this evening. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll close the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 70 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all the one that makes the net. Come back again tomorrow night, Mr. Matt. WG4MC will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We're thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.